attempted recreation, if it's anything, because you can't even. It's just a piece of imagination that brings one of these to being.
Well, in a sense, it's a piece of deductive logic, which I prefer, as opposed to an exercise in imagination.
Mm.
Because unless the data actually drives the thing, there's no point going.
Depends whether you're doing it to instruct people of a reality or just trying to create an effect.
But if you're in the world of the museum...
Oh yes, I mean that's...
I would go... I strongly argue against that point of view in the sense that the museum really is kind of cathedral in our world, and it has to be, because what it's doing is presenting the past and conserving and preserving. And therefore, even if you never go into a bloody museum, you will find the average Joe in the street saying, "You mustn't touch our museum." As they would argue, you mustn't touch the cathedral either, because those two things are key to everything that's gone before. You know, if you knock down the town hall, who gives a toss? That doesn't matter. But the museum and the cathedral or the church is critically important, even in our society. They are the main planks, if you like, of people's consciousness of what's gone before. And to take those away, you would then have people just flowing about nothing. Even though they don't go and see them, that's not the point, they are there. A piece of philosophy. I think it's very important.
That's why we all end up working there somehow. I used to work, I escaped. So you don't, I mean, other than the, if you like, the conceptual bits we're talking about and the theoretical bit, there is, in the space we've got, there's really no structural problem that you foresee.
I cannot see any. I really can't. I mean, if I were to build that, it would be a relatively simple exercise.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to look at diminishing the scale. We would like to lay down as much of the building full size as we've done.
Yeah, well, otherwise it would lose its point. But in terms of building a structure based on that, it's not.
In technical, in purely practical terms, if could, how can we do this? I mean, obviously, what we need to do is get to an estimate of cost to build it. Would you want to supervise it, do it? How would you want that to be done? I mean, because we can think of any number of ways of getting labour, staff from the museum, or straight labour to do it, or whatever. But we'd have to think of a way that how we can construct all the payments and everything to make it happen within the space.
Well, it comes back to the first question I asked before you arrived. What exactly do you see as my role in this exercise?
I'm a designer of museum displays, exhibitions. I am not somebody who can construct an Iron Age hut. What I can say is what I needed to do in display terms, which may, at times, contradict what you want to do it or somebody else, and we'll have to come to a compromise.
Yeah.
Therefore, I need somebody to advise and probably to supervise, or to some extent supervise, how it gets constructed, because there is no point in me learning somebody else's trade as to how to do it. It will take me too long, and it's a waste of the museum's money. So you see, right, we're looking...
What's going through my mind, quite simply, if we can get some kind of answer to that question, then this is something that could actually be pre-built, for the sake of argument, at the ancient farm here, in terms of materials, how they fit together, where they fit together, so that we could pre-build this.
I mean, because we could set
and then we could actually transport the stuff on a bloody lorry.
Well, that's, I mean, some ways we were thinking we may well be the way it would have to do. And all we would do is, if there were a place to do that, we could almost stake out or scaffold out the roof, the structure that it's got to fit in, just to make sure that it's actually going to...
I mean, this way, you see, we'd be able to
get the timbers through the door.
Yeah.
Just little things like that.
Yeah, but I notice you've bricked up this already.
The fire officer says we've got a brick now.
I mean, that would be a concept that you could play with. This is something we could get to grips with, because all we would be doing is actually building the framework.
The dressing of that framework can be done
The tarting up of it is your job.
Yes.
In that sense, yes. All we need to do is to provide the skeletal structure in terms of the uprights, the joining pieces as such, the horizontals, and then the angle and the timber that go above that. And we could actually play about with feasibility as long as we work closely together. That's a possibility that you could play with.
And
that might be an answer, because at the end of the day, you're going to be pushed, because October through Easter is a very short period of time when it comes to building something from scratch. I mean, you can scratch your ass and think about this for a long time. And at the end of the day, you've still got to, A, get the trees. They've got to be all jointed. If we're going to make this as authentic as possible, then we're dealing with hundreds of man hours. Added to which, if you want it in any way seasoned, in the sense that it mustn't look fire new, well, the only way you can do that is outside. And that could be one way that we could deal with it.
I mean, if we can sort out what the cost of this thing and the budget will stand it. I mean,
what is the overall budget for this element?
I'd have to sort it all out
roughly.
I haven't got all the figures with me, so what I'll do is I'll get back to you and say what we've got available.
Yeah.
I can, and
what you propose, how you propose to percentage it out.
Yes, I mean, what we've got, it's all itemised. I'll have to go back and look and pull all the figures together, if you like, for all the component parts.
Yeah.
And then see where we stand and see if it's feasible. I mean, even if building it here is financially unavailable, you know, and just not attainable, from my point of view, I need somebody working on the team who has expertise to say, even if we ended up, because of cost, having to fake the back part because we couldn't afford to do it with real timbers, we could only do the front part, we still want somebody who can say,
part is this shape. Yeah.
This shape, those sort of joints ought to be, you know, even if they aren't jointed like that, they're made to look like they're jointed like that. Because, you know, the last thing I want is yet another Iron Age, bit of theatre that looks like a gazebo. I mean, because there's so many of them about. I mean, I've actually put my name to one or two of them as well, and I'm getting fed up with not having them have that look, which looks like they're right.
Well, look, I think what we ought to do now is stop this discussion, send you up to the site without me, go and look at the big house up there, spend time talking amongst yourselves, and consider what that house is all about, and then we'll take up again. What do you think? They said, Jesus, lunchtime. So, you know, in terms of lunch, there's a pub up the road called the Hog's Lodge. There's another one at Chalton, which is the Red Lion.
It's the village beyond.
Are we going for lunch?
We're going for lunch.
Why don't we all go for lunch at the Red Lion? What's your time scale?
I've got to get you back. Great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be very honest about it.
Yeah.
Very strong-willed and extremely... He's not hands-on until he doesn't see something, until it's not going exactly the way he wanted it to go. So, but I think the hope would be that I could actually act as the person in between everybody, because I think the last thing we want is a five-way discussion to get this built. It can only be a decision made and get on with it.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that will be very, very important is the flesh on the skeleton, not the clothes, the arch bits and all, but the flesh, you know, things like what does the underside of the roof look like, what materials will we require for that,
you know,
talking about bark and so on.
That would be the ideal.
Yeah.
And what we need, therefore, is...
I'll try and draw what I've got in mind on the board. If you were to look up on the interior, and you're looking then at... let's see, you've got... They're going to be straight timbers between our pipes, so you're actually going to come across something of this order. And then you've got another one at the back here, which is slightly lower. You're going to have timbers coming across here. And these are going to have cross pieces on them. They have to be to support the...
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So you're looking at three layers of timber going up. And then you've got to have the material on top of that, which I would suggest is best on the bar. And so all you're going to see, in effect, is a tiled effect on top of these timbers of sheets of bark, which would be, we would have to put some kind of weight above them, but
yeah.
That could be some kind of fire retardant blanketing.
Or those, like we've used those clay pellets, you know, that are used in garden centres, because they're inert, and if you can restrain them. But obviously it won't work because we'll have more down on
the
floor.
All we're going to see.
But we can find we can easily find a commercial insulation matting or something.
That would be it. Or something fire retardant to keep
anything
the
like
fire
that,
officer off.
Yeah,
back.
That's right. We'll have to look at whether we might have to treat all the timbers depending on their thickness. If we're over 18 mil square section, we may not make us fireproof it. But that's something I've got to go into very quickly. And if it's oak, you probably won't, because it takes so long to burn through.
Nice.
It'll be all right. It's whether we go to the surface spreader flame. But that's something. Once we've got a structure and materials, I'll have to go to the fire officer and see what they'll let us off. Otherwise, we may have to use one of these matte AlbiClear or whatever. The problem if we use that is it fixes the colour forever.
Murder that stuff.
But
part of what we've been talking about is, you know, to get that
but
natural look.
So I mean we have to make sure we can argue it with it.
Yeah.
You can use the
weathering box for that. Yes I can, but the tickets are a film.
Borax.
And I ain't
worth it. I've done bales of hay with it.
Yeah.
And that's fire flame proof.
Okay.
So I'd really have to find out what they'll want to let us use.
Very nice.
If the
type
of subject is big enough, they might let us get away with it.
But all is well.
Odin's Raven is alright, it's an exhibit. Although it's been built. But this is being built new, and it depends what your fire officer is. If it's a piece of temporary display, he may let us off. If he sees it as part of
your
building structure, that's why I don't want to attach it to the wall. You don't attach it to the wall, it's only temporary display.
That's for everybody.
Yeah. We could see. Interesting little
discussion.
Not a problem when you're building an iron age village.
No constraints. Health and safety.
Well, I'll
go on actually now. It would be now.
Okay, well.
It's just stuck to the fire. Has this house over there got?
Because
obviously you've got a 30-foot going to every entrance. It will be one of the first Iron Age to building control and planning applications of fire officers' requirements.
Might
one. All yours conform, do they have to put the public in? I was going to say they must do to get the public in.
I tell you a story about the first house we ever built, which was the big one, the Pimpan House. I applied for planning permission. I have to. I count the land and all that sort of crap that goes with it. And I submitted an isometric drawing of this thing with all the stresses and strains worked out, arguments and the rest of it. It was promptly turned down by the planning officer. So I resubmitted for the section drawing and no further information at all, other than this was a prehistoric house. Pum, that's what it looked like. And it promptly passed. I invited the planning committee around when I finished it, and this bloke was apoplectic with rage. But
because he said, that won't stand up. So I said to him, you know, if you don't deal in cylinders and cones, then clearly you don't understand how these things work. But he would have a practical base. I'd actually built it based on a section drawing. Because it was the only thing he understood. He thought it was going to be a rectangular barn. Hampshire County Council.
That's good architect department.
Are they? It's not in my perception, don't they?
They're quite good on restoration of buildings.
Yep, they're all rectangular, aren't they?
Oh, and rectangular ones, yeah. Exactly.
Any fool can do that.
And holes in windows.
You know, trees, if you're lucky, are fundamentally straight-ish. Which is the other thing, you see. This is not going to have straight-up ends.
It doesn't want to look like, you know, that's the problem with most modern representations of historic buildings of this type. They
draw it with a ruler.
Mm. I mean, I would, because it's the quickest route when you're trying to draw it.
Yeah, isometric
drawings of reconstruction, how precise that's true. Somebody asked us if we'd do a computer-generated wireframe drawing of a building like this. I said, no, you can't. You cannot do it because it just, a computer will not draw, it draws actual dimensions geometrically. It can't do it. Can't draw all the buildings properly on a computer.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a proposition that could be played with. I don't know whether you like the proposition or not.
For my benefit, I would rather be able to come and see the structure here, look at it, think about how we're going to address it in the interim and see it developing. That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, whatever happens, I'm sure we're not going to buy all the timbers on the island.
Therefore, we've got the transport cost anyway.
So whether they're sourced here and transported, we're going to have that. We're going to have that problem anyway.
It's not impossible that I could source that timber in this part of the world. It would cost, because there's an oak plantation I know they're thinning at just outside Newbury, which is 6 miles from here. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, we're looking for 33 oak trees.
Okay.
Well, we're looking in terms for between 50 and 51 oak trees, because you've got the cross pieces, and then we'll be looking at a lot of ash trees in order to put the scantling on top.
Mm. Is ash a tree that you get on the island?
No. Can you be happy with that? I can lay my hands on ash, but I can't help or pine rather. Scots pine is bloody difficult in this part of the
world. Unless we get it through Manx Forest.
We'll have to see what
they could provide. But I think we ought to ask them.
Oh, yeah. We're getting on quite well with them at the moment. I've just got 5,000 out of them for an archaeological service. It's quite a record, really. Never been done before.
I will sit down at this. and then we'd be looking at that lot being transported. Which means we'd be looking at the big lorry.
See, we can either put it on lorry, take the lorry right across, or the worst one, put it in container and take it across. Mm. Yeah, put it to Southampton and take it down, whichever the cheapest route, I mean, or the most effective and sensible route. I don't think there's any problems in the shipping. We're going to have to ship most of it anyway.
But if you can ship it as a kit.
If it's been done on a set out space, flat off the building, you know the spot heights of all the buildings and where all the springings are for the roof and everything else. It's going to be so much easier to take it in, build it, tweak it if necessary, but actually, you know, it's going to go up in days rather than weeks and months. In a space which is very difficult actually to build that sort of structure in.
It should fit together.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's done, that's a very nice piece of PR as well. I mean, the public love to see things like that being put together.
Yeah.
And that's the,
because happily, you see, we're dealing with no wall planning at all. All that is just a freestanding skeleton.
Yeah. And then we've got, essentially, although they're going to be real finishes, they're decorative finishes to the structure.
Yeah.
We're not trying to weatherproof it or anything else. It's just purely visual. I mean, if the worst came to the worst and we can't get the bath, that is one thing. We can get cast as sheet. Even the plaster sheet and then the spray, and that's no problem. It will look just like bath. As long as you can say, here's 10 different pieces, I like them. We'll get one of the theatrical companies to actually cast it up in sheet with webbing in it and just lay it on the top.
Yeah.
We'll have all the right quality. Because getting bark stripped might be a problem.
Added to which, of course, it's going to, because this has got to have an ambient temperature of, what, 65, 70 degrees?
Yeah, we'll drop the temperature in here to try and get it down. But even so, it is not exterior. It's going to be too weird. The moist, we can put humidity in there, but it's not going to be a normal exterior. It's not enough.
So it's going to buckle and twist and butter in no time at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got to...
So that might be the way to the actual room.
But I think we still say where people can actually walk in and touch things. If it
we need a stack
of
bark.
That's got to be real.
That's got to be real.
Yeah.
That's the double.
The stuff
take.
At the back beyond the visitor reach. We can.
Yeah.
Make that up. Most things can be made to look right. Very few things can be made to feel right.
Yeah. And the feeling has got to come from the skeletal structure.
But if people walk in and thump one of these posts, they feel like...
Or better still, they've got to be able to take out their penknife.
Yeah, somebody will, then.
And they will. Yeah. And they'll go... And it's got to go in.
Yeah.
Or it's got to go in a certain way. Well, what about lunch at the Red Lion, folks?
Yeah.
Does that sound sensible?
Yeah, my only problem is I've got no cash. It's at £6.90.
What do you think of it anyway, the architect?
It's from the elegant inside.
Oh. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that's what helped me is the space.
You see, this is why I find that.
Mm.
You see, if Bursa is right, then those buildings are absolutely exciting. When I look at that building that we've created based on the long building, I question those interpretations.
Mm. Somebody is very successful at being very self-important with a 70-foot wide building.
Yeah. Well, not so much that. It goes up pro rata. You know, with a cone, as you know, increasing it. You're in deep trouble after a bit. I mean, there's 200 trees in that building. Plus, I mean, we're talking about a healthy amount of trees to do this one.
Mm.
And you know these lorries that go along the road with the stumps on the back?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. For the guts of this.
Mm. And it's not the whole thing. If you took the whole structure.
It's
a forest, isn't it? It's a small copse all of its own.
Just
to
create
it.
The bloody thing.
Mm.
And that's before you start bugging your boat.
But that's what the evidence says.
That's what the evidence is, that's what we'll do.
Mm.
But I'd be interested to hear what you thought about the site.
I think the thing that surprised me that we were talking about was the floor.
Yeah.
Unfinished.
Yes, because of all the descriptions are beaten earth floors and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, the beaten earth floors are your problem.
No, I know, that's what we're saying. You then do it where it's necessary, which is why you just let it happen.
Mm.
I think 90% of it is letting it happen. The only place where I've seen it different to that is in Africa, where they actually coat the floor with dung.
Oh,
and then wipe it over and wipe it over and wipe it over. And at the end of the day, it ultimately gets like a polished marble floor.
No, the thing that got me was that really the structure functions as habitable space because the roof is waterproof. There's by no means a weatherproof building. We don't keep the weather outside. It wafts in under the eaves.
Well,
helps
you know, again,
smoke.
I suspect we haven't finished it. It's like everything else. I would rather fancy that those walls are finished off with bundles of straw which are then daubed so that they're tight up against the roof.
Right.
So there is need space.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see that as being finished at all.
Right.
You know, one of our biggest problems was being faced in 1991 with having to build a site in order to earn money. And therefore the infrastructure had to go in fast. As fast as it was commensurate with good science. And so we built that, but lots of things are not being finished.
Mm.
You know, it's do you tit about with that, or do you build something else? And we had to go down the route of building something else in the sense that roofs are what's going to attract people to come in and park with their £2.
Mm.
You know, and that works.
Not to mind the stuff, not scientific detail.
You know, they're not going to be interested whether the eaves are finished or not. But for our purposes now, yes, it should be finished.
Mm.
And it will be finished in due course, but it's hands again, time and energy and resources and all that stuff. So apologies on that particular score. Also, it's got to have doors. And one rather suspects that the doors themselves would be rather impressive things. We're even going down the idea of toying with brazen doors.
Yes, it's not the sort of structure you build and then you know, drape a skin over the door, is it? You really want to be able to say to people, come into my house.
That's
you know,
right.
It's got that sort of either keep out or come in. One
yeah,
or two.
That's right. And I think, well, all the porches, in fact, have double doors. And they're exactly twice as wide as they are deep every time. So that the doors are going to swing back against side walls.
Mm.
Which again begs all sorts of questions about those who's finding it there.
Mm. Where were the doors?
Well, there are being real evidence for them. But that needn't trouble us, you see, at the minute.
We haven't really got an entrance.
It would only trouble us if we decided to build such a structure out on the island.
Mm.
Then we would have to face a whole lot of different questions. But I think in terms of an exhibition, then we don't quite have the same number of questions to address.
Mm.
I think, though, if from my point of view, which is not a scientific one, if there were likely to have been impressive doors, it would be nice to describe them somewhere, even if they're not described in direct relation to the structure. It would be nice to get people to pass through them somewhere, just because it's a nice thing.
Sorry, brother. Bless you, mate. Thank you very much. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Okay, you're happy with the library and everything? You've got 2 weeks to work out.
Well, I've got a week to finish.
How many books do you have to do?
Just under the 1,200, so I can just show us all the back.
We don't know what the doors would be like.
No.
We've got one or two doors from the continent, and they tend to be wattle structures. Thank you. Wattle structures with the wattling vertically running through the door. The ones I'm thinking of, particularly the ones from Biskupin in Poland. There are those. what else have we got? Not a lot else. Certainly the hinges are going to be spigot hinges.
As you have on one of the smaller houses.
That's what we've got on the smaller house.
Yeah.
In fact, the smaller house doors are exactly like the ones that we have. But whether they would wear that on a big house, I don't know. The big problem comes in simply holding the door square, which means you've almost got to have a hanging diagonal otherwise it ain't going to hold the door up. And what happens is it drops. Now there's two ways of getting over that. You can either get over it without having a roller on the ground, which is one of the ways they do in Eastern Europe. To this very day, they'll put a little roller at the bottom of the door. Alternatively, you've got to put in a cross brace. As soon as you put in the cross brace, then you bugger up the whole principle of interweaving it with wattle rods. Because they don't like diagonals. And if you're going to do that, then you're in timber framing, which means you're going to upset an awful lot of medieval people. I don't mind upsetting medieval people because I don't think they're right, in the sense that I think timber framing is something which is prehistoric rather than anything else. If you've got a sill beam, then you've got a timber frame, in my view. And we've got lots of evidence of sill beams. But there is a man who was at a conference, at that stratigraphy conference, who just wanted to argue about timbering and timber framing and all the rest of it. And he goes down with the view that anything that was any kind of advanced timber work was brought by the Romans. I tend to disagree with that fundamentally. But I don't see the Romans brought anything they came to take. There's evidence of planks.
But not in any structured form as planks.
Well, they're supposed to be plank walls, which in itself raises a problem. How do you fix them together at the top? Not to mention how do you fix them to each other? Well, it's the standard idea of a V cut and a plank and lock them together like this. But evidence for that is minimal. Lots of evidence for planks, vertically set in trenches.
Not framed or pegged onto frames or anything like that. Nothing sound.
An impressive entrance would be.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
I think we've got to form one somehow, even if it's not with doors. I know our entrance is not correct, we can't actually get it.
What kind of metalwork have we got?
Gravity or
nothing.
Absolutely. You said it earlier, it's wet, rainy. post holes, they're good post holes.
Is this something for a good bit of text on that? Hold on, I'll be
back. I mean, if you tell us what the evidence is and we can get something made, I mean, that's it's really going to totally depend on, if you said you wanted a carved timber door, we can get a carved timber door. Mm. You want fabric door, metal door, finding people with the skills to do it is not the problem, it's finding the evidence to say why we want it the way we want it.
Something with any sort of only neo-Christian crosses, there's no sort of graffiti or iconography on those, it's the later ones.
Metalwork is something that it's a problem for what you actually, you know, with it, you know, this thing about the cauldron. I mean, do we have a cauldron? I mean, we haven't got anything.
Metal.
No. We got, I think, from where this site, we've got one iron disc.
Purpose unknown.
Purpose unknown.
And one lump of, I think, which you interpreted as a plow shell or something. I can't remember.
You can imagine if people were sitting there, this thinking, why are we named after this?
What is it?
Waffle iron.
But then there's crucibles. Crucibles are going inside.
Yeah.
basically the island was used as a huge internment camp for both wars, in fact. And in the Second War, Gerhard Berser, who was no friend of the Nazis anyway, but in fact he'd been hounded out of Germany, he was interned on the island. But very quickly the Society of Antiquaries started machinating and said do some excavations as a way of providing recreation for the internees.
Yeah.
And so large numbers of them were moved out by train from Port Area, which is down southwest of the island, to this site, which is in the southeast. It's only about 5 or 6 miles. Mm-hmm. And he dug three of these roundhouses and various others between about 1941 and 1942.
Pretty much in very close proximity to each other.
Yeah, but in these three roundhouses, I've looked at aerial photographs and there are others in the immediate vicinity, and in fact there's been another bunch about a mile to the west, and one of those looks even bigger than me.
Quick dig, find out some evidence by next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no radiocarbon. Just a few small samples to save, which were dated, and those don't quite tie in. But then if you start thinking about old timber being used and so on, then it's quite possible.
Yeah.
I mean, the idol wasn't totally on its own.
Well, you've got sort of cultures that are sort of brooch and grass beads, which I guess in respect to sort of mirrors and things like that. And all sorts of other things, but...
Which they dried off and cooked their bratwursts on for lunch.
They've got special rations, haven't they? Actually, didn't they?
Well, you worked this through, didn't you?
We
scaled it off.
On this one,
it must be 4 metres.
It's a bit rough, isn't it?
Well, it's a
bit. 3 metres. It rises to about 10 or 11 foot from the underside. But it's very big and shallow.
Yes, I was going to say, it's a...
But that's not to say that's the truth, because we don't... Do we know the length of these timbers?
No.
No, I mean, that's part
that's
of...
That's the, only that's the only conjecture.
Yeah.
So this is just... This is actually
off his
structural
drawing,
model.
Yeah.
It's not actually taking it any further than saying... Somebody could come and say it.
It was
a restored structure. Yeah, I mean... It's one of the things we were asking Peter earlier, and it comes up as 22 is about the minimum, 29 is sort of pretty acceptable, maximum, probably maximum actually, if you've got heavy
earth,
yeah.
Is there evidence for this sort of?
No. I mean, again, that's the other map that came up, as people said earlier, you know, this.
People
fought Trump like gold dust. And, and the beauty of this thing is everything just sort of sits down, really. And so you can have fairly simple jaunting at the top height of thought. Providing the sort of integrity that is kept by it being lashed together at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many imponderables. Obviously, a lot of the internal appearance depends on our interpretation of the society that gave rise to it, and the status of the people who lived in it, and so on. I mean, I do really rather like the idea of it being, for quite a small number of posh people.
And
it does give you some. You have
a feudal enclave or holiday homes for the rich and powerful.
On the other man. We just thought you were going to have a good time and the Christians are coming. It's like knock, knock, knock on the door.
Hello, it's a question. I want to make another cross there.
Have you thought about the afterlife? Oh, just get away. I'm on the phone. Are there livestock?
I know.
Saying that earlier, and I thought Peter was saying this morning.
It's given you food for thought, though.
It certainly has, yeah. I mean, then looking at the house this afternoon, seeing the sort of partial partitioning, I can see how that can be very effective around the edge. And I think that's perhaps where it'd be limited to, because you put your storage, you've got limited roof head height there, so storage cupboard or bed chamber or whatever. But when you've got the opportunity, it's wonderful space.
I'll send you a drawing. I've got an interior drawing of a. Tribe is Earth Lodge, done in the 19th century, in a big meeting, and it's stepped again to the outside, and they're all sitting, all the plebs around the outside, and then the circle of elders are in the middle in a huge structure that looks very similar to that. I think that's Bodmer. And you wonder whether this isn't as big, isn't where people come and meet. I mean, the main family may live there, but everybody, you've been called to the meeting. I mean, that's an intriguing thing, whether in fact they had circular buildings like the North American Indians because of the way they thought, not because they had to have them.
Yeah.
It's actually part of their culture to have round buildings.
Yeah.
I think the great thing about seeing say, as I say, it gives you a sense of how big this interior will look.
Mm.
Even though our longest dimension, although we're not the full building, is not far off. The inner ring there, without the, you know, with the, so you've got 9 meters, you've got, well, the shortest distance across there, we've got 27, nearly 30 foot. And on the long dimension, it's almost as wide as that one. It's a big space, but it's not as big an open space because we've got that low roof. We're going to get much more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Down to
the seating's there.
Yeah, to that.
So it's
first,
we're going to take one post through the seating, so actually we can walk through that bit.
Yeah.
So that actually the roof comes right the way through, but it's that distance that way which is immensely.
Fifteen meters
of plus internals, that's 15 meters. That's nearly as wide as that one up there. And that's not going to look at, well, in a funny way, it won't look as impressive in as that one vertically, because we're not going to have that height, but you're going to look through this seat.